Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Think of all the reasons Jesus could have given us to motivate why we should avoid hypocrisy, why we should avoid seeking personal glory for our own righteousness. He could have given us a million reasons, but the one he brings up is the fact that it won't be rewarded. Therefore, it should be rejected. Some of you might be uneasy with this whole sermon. You might be thinking, this just violates grace. It's too much work. If you're thinking that way, it might help for you to understand the difference between reward and wage. A wage. A wage is like a salary. That's a payment for services rendered. A reward is a gift. It's connected to an action, but it's still a gift. And there's a big difference. Someone says, I'll give you $10 an hour if you dig that ditch, and you dig the ditch, then he owes you the money. You earned it, and that's a wage. But if you find somebody's lost wallet and return it to him, what does he owe you? Nothing. He owes you nothing. You've just given him what already belongs to him. But suppose the guy is so glad to get his wallet back that he responds by giving you a generous gift. That's a reward, not a wage. You didn't earn it, but it is connected with an action. In both cases, you get something for what you do because of what you do, but a wage is something you have a right to. You deserve it. A reward is just given graciously. A wage is something that is equal to the value of the work. A reward is something unrelated to the value of the work. Unrelated. Someone does $100 worth of work on my car, I give them $100, that's a wage. But if you tell your little son, you know, I'll give you a $5 bill if you can make 7 out of 10 free throws. That's not a wage, that's a reward. It's unrelated to the value of the work. Rewards from God, one way to think of it is like the treasure buried in Matthew, remember in Matthew 13, the treasure buried in the field. Getting the treasure cost the guy everything he had, but the treasure was worth way more than the guy's net worth. They were unrelated in value. He gave the worthless thing that he had and gained a huge treasure, and that's what God's grace is like. So the fact that God attaches some of his gracious gifts to our deeds does not make it any less gracious. See that? Grace doesn't mean no effort or no work. You've been taught that grace can't involve actions on your part. You've just been mistaught. You've been misled. That's not true. And if you aren't convinced by all that reasoning, be convinced by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here. If the Lord offers reward as a motive, then not only is it okay to seek reward from God, it's absolutely mandatory. And if you're not seeking reward, and you're not reward isn't motivating you, God offers it and it just doesn't have any impact, doesn't have any pull on your heart, then you're just simply disobeying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a mark of unbelief. Now, I should also hasten to add that there is a right way and a wrong way to seek reward. It can be done in a way that dishonors God, and it can be done in a way that honors God. If a person uses God, that's wrong. If I turn God into some kind of big vending machine so that he'll just give me the, you know, my higher paying job or better marriage or whatever it is I think I need to be happy, then I'm not seeking God as my great treasure. I'm just using God to get some other thing that I regard as the great treasure. If I use God to get a new car, that glorifies the car as being desirable, not God. However, not all seeking of reward is like that. Not all seeking of reward is in that category. There is a way to seek reward that does honor God and not the item that is the reward. And if you have trouble understanding the difference between desiring God and using God, try this. Just think about it in terms of relationship. I think this is the key. This is where people, I think, very often stumble in understanding rewards because they forget about the relational aspect of it, and that makes it hard to understand. Just think about this principle in terms of an earthly relationship, just a relationship with another person. I think we can all understand the difference between a person seeking the natural benefits, the natural rewards that go along with loving a person, as opposed to just using that person to get something else that they desire. Imagine a man who comes to his girlfriend and gets down on his knees and says, "Will you marry me? Marry me. I need you. I need my laundry done. I need someone to cook. I need someone to mow the grass. I don't have time for that stuff. I'll do whatever it takes to make you happy, so if you'll do that stuff for me, just marry me." Then she's going to tell him to get lost, right? She's not going to be interested in that. Why? Because he's not interested in her. He's just using her to get some stuff done. But what if a man says, "Marry me," and she says, "Why? Why do you want me to marry you?" And the man says, "Because I want to wake up in the morning and see your beautiful face every day for the rest of my life. And I want to come home from work every day and hear your lovely voice. The things you say, the way you act, things you do, I love it all. And I want to spend the rest of my life experiencing all those things and enjoying all those things. Your companionship strengthens me. And when I'm around you, I feel like the whole world will just... it could fall apart. I'd still be happy because I'm around you." And he goes on and on with that. And I mean, that's a lot of reward he's looking for, right? He's looking for a lot of benefits. Is that selfish? I mean, is she going to say, "All you care about is yourself. I want to be happy. I want to hear your voice. I want to. All you care about is yourself"? No, that's a self-interest that's not selfish, right? It's love. Both men are seeking a reward. You see that? But they're both trying to get what they want. The difference is in what it is they want. The first guy dishonors her because he wants something else besides her and just uses her to get it. The second guy honors her because he wants her and the natural benefits that come from being with her. So you say, okay, well, how do I know which of those I'm doing with God? If I'm using him or if I'm desiring him? Let me just offer three principles for discerning that. First, if what you're desiring is a natural, essential connection, has a connection with the person, the presence of the person that you're desiring, then you are desiring that person. You're not using the person. You know, a million different women could cook and clean the guy's house, but the guy who wanted to wake up to that particular woman's face and hear her voice and all that, those are things that have an essential connection with her. That particular woman. So desiring those benefits, he's desiring her. So if I try to use God to get a better job or to get money or to get a spouse or whatever, none of those things have any essential connection with the presence of God. But if I desire something that the Bible does connect to his presence, like joy or peace or strength or courage or safety or spiritual life or enlightenment or any of that, if I say, "God, I want to draw near to you because those are the things that come from your presence and from no other source," then I'm desiring God. I'm not guilty of using God in order to get peace. I'm actually desiring God. I mean, people ask all the time, is it wrong to give to get? Is it okay to give to get? And the answer to that question depends on what you want to get. If you give to God in order to get some other treasure, yeah, that's wrong. But if you draw near to God and express love to him in the hope to get the natural benefits that come from the nearness of God's presence, that's worship. That's acceptable to God. Now, you say, "Well, okay, well, fine. I see that. But what about if God decides to reward me with a physical thing, something disconnected to his nature, like a new car or money or some better circumstance in life?" Put that back in the human context. What if my wife wants to express her love to me by cooking and cleaning and doing housework or whatever? Am I guilty of using her if I enjoy that? Well, it depends on what's in my heart. And I can tell what's in my heart by what happens if I don't get it. Right? If my wife wants to express her love by cooking a special meal for me, and I'm not demanding the meal, I'm not expecting it, I'm not requiring it, but I'm thrilled to get it because I receive it as an expression of her love, I see what it means, that's good. But if I get angry if she doesn't do it, that probably means that what I wanted was not her, but the meal. And my love is for the meal, not for her. And I'm using her rather than desiring her. If God is pleased to give me a new car, and I receive that as an expression of his love, my enjoyment of the car is good. It's pleasing worship to God. But if I demand a car and I get upset if I don't get the car, that shows that my desire isn't for God but for the car. See that? So the second principle for discerning this is to just trust God to be the one to pick the reward. Let Him choose. When it comes to rewards that are not essential parts of His presence, like money and possessions and circumstances in life and, you know, all that kind of thing, the question to ask is, am I dictating to God which reward it has to be and when, or am I just trusting Him to decide whatever He wants to do is great? If I tell God, God, I'll be happy if you, only if you give me this particular reward, this is the thing I need to be happy, then I'm pointing to that thing as my great treasure. But if I trust Him, I just trust Him, I say, God, I just trust You to do whatever's best. I know You're going to do something good. Whether You're pleased to give me, whether it's this thing I want or some other thing, whether You choose to give it or when You choose to give it, that's all I want, is whatever it is You're going to choose to do, God, because that's what I love, is Your will. Because Your will's better than mine. You know better than me what's good. Then you're desiring God and not using God. You say that to God, you're honoring Him because you're showing His will to be the most desirable thing. But if you name it and claim it, say, God, I'm claiming this thing. And I want this thing regardless of what Your will is at this moment, because I know that this is best. That's the health, wealth, prosperity heresy that uses God and points to earthly treasures as more desirable than God's will.
Think of your recent prayer requests. Are those requests using God or seeking God? And secondly, what are some requests that you could offer right now that would be seeking God rather than using Him? You can bring a big smile to God's face right now just by asking for those things.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.